This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio. We learned this week that economic growth across all the countries that use the euro grew more than expected by 0.6% last quarter. But statistics can lie, depending on where you live. There's a new book out today by the economist who served as finance minister of Greece's left-wing government at the height of the debt crisis. Yanis Varoufakis had fought Europe's demands to impose crushing austerity. His book is called Adults in the Room, My Battle with the European and American Deep Establishment. Professor, thanks for coming in.
It's a great pleasure.
What do you think of what I would say is the conventional wisdom right now regarding the Eurozone? Things are generally going quite well over there. We don't have to worry about those guys much anymore.
A regime's incapacity to reproduce itself is evidenced at moments when the reality and the narrative about the reality become so huge. It's very much like the early 1980s in the Soviet Union. The official version and the actual truth were so disparate, you knew the system could not reproduce itself. Europe now is in a situation where the numbers are prospering and the people are suffering. We have more than 3.5 trillion of non-performing loans, private and public. We've got a banking system that needs about $1.5 trillion to be properly capitalized. And we have a political system which has absolutely buckled under its own hubris.
Now, the villains in your story are the forces that prioritize bondholders and big banks over the Greek population. But you also blame Greeks for getting into the mess in the first place. Are you seeing finally, doesn't sound like you are, structural changes in Greece that are possibly going to strengthen the country as for the future?
Well, we're responsible for the fact that we were the first domino to fall. We were not responsible for the domino dynamic, which began in Greece and then ended up rendering, for instance, Italy insolvent, in a sense. Structural reforms. What is a structural reform? Do you think that taking a pensioner who is living on $300 a month to $200 counts as a reform? This is confusing butchery with surgery.
Yes, the austerity that we've reported so much about has not gone away if you go to Greece.
It is actually getting deeper. But look, this is absolutely understandable, because when you have a bankrupt state and bankrupt banks, bankrupt companies and bankrupt households, and everybody's pretending, or we're being forced to pretend, that we can escape this bankruptcy through borrowing more, an 8-year-old will tell you that that can't end well. And this cycle, austerity leading to insolvency, insolvency creating more austerity, and so on, this downward spiral cannot end on its own.
In the book, there's a crucial scene. You and one of the most powerful figures on the world stage, Germany's finance minister, Wolfgang Schäuble, in the heat of negotiations, he says privately to you several times that he understands how agreeing to EU, ECB, IMF terms will be, quote, bad for your people, meaning Greek people. I thought that was interesting. He sees you as Greeks, not Europeans. Did you notice that? I mean, the euro means that Greece can't use its own central bank to get out of a desperate spot like a regular sovereign nation. Yet in this situation, it's you, the Greeks.
This is precisely the crux of the problem. We have a monetary union, but we don't have a political union, and we don't have a moral union.
A moral union?
Well, imagine if in the United States you treated people from Arizona as non-Americans or as people that must fend for themselves and whose banking system is their own problem. Then you wouldn't be having the United States of America.
And that's the conundrum that Europe is still in. It didn't fix it.
Indeed. We created the common currency, but we'd not create everything else which is necessary in order to make the common currency a place of shared prosperity. But you mentioned Schäuble. Let me just say one thing that I think matters about this is the reason why I wrote the book. My book, in a sense, is a story about the powerlessness of the powerful. Because what he was actually saying to me at that moment, and he was not happy saying this, was that he was powerless to do that which he himself understood to be the right thing. That's why I think of my book as a tragedy. In the old, ancient Greek or Shakespearean understanding of the word tragedy.
Wolfgang Schäuble, among the most powerful humans on this earth when it comes to finances, couldn't do what he knew was right, is what you're saying.
And he was absolutely, utterly dejected as I was. And this is why I didn't write my book as a book of a story of goodies and baddies, villains and the virtues. Everybody in my book is trying to do their best under circumstances not of their own choosing, circumstances that are effectively forcing people like Schäuble to do awful things in the name of exactly its opposite.
Just so we know a piece of the story, what did the finance minister of Germany want to do, but his chancellor wouldn't let him do?
Wolfgang Schäuble, decades ago, was a committed federalist. But a combination of Angela Merkel, who usurped him and effectively stole, that's in his view, the prime ministership, the chancellorship from him, as well as the French, did not want a proper federation. They wanted all the benefits from a common currency, but without the obligations of a federal democratic political system. Schäuble was against that, but over the years, he became a cynical man, using the finance ministry to do that which he would have wanted to do as the Chancellor of Germany. And his number one priority became to tame Paris. His argument was very simple. They want our money. That's how he conceives the euro, as a Deutschmark. I will have to have control over the national budget. It's very, very simple. And Greece was collateral damage. He said this explicitly to me. How can I let you off the hook? What will the French think?
To tame Paris, to tame the French, the other power center in the
European Union. But you see, that's a point that you mentioned before. When you treat one European people as expendable and as collateral damage in a kind of war, dirty war against another large country like France, effectively you're condemning Europe to constant fragmentation and disintegration, both at the economic, financial, and moral level.
Now, you're a proud left-winger, right? And I note the subtitle of your book, My Battle with the European and American Deep Establishment. That echoes a phrase that the American right wing likes to use, the deep state, the apparatchiks in government as they see them who thwart real reform. Is this deep state, deep establishment one of the examples of the left and the right looping back around and meeting?
Well, there is the profound difference, of course, as you know very well, at your own cost these days in this country, is that the right only wanted to penetrate the deep establishment in order to take it over and to use it for its own purposes. We leftist humanists want to dissolve it, and we want a genuine democracy.
So a profound difference is what you're telling me.
I'd say so.
All right. The former finance minister of Greece and professor, Yanis Varoufakis. The new book is called Adults in the Room. Thank you.
Thank you.